Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. Here with a couple names, you know, a couple names I never thought I would get the pleasure of interviewing. The Bushwhackers are back together. We got Luke. We got Butch. How are you guys doing?
Whoa! We're doing good, Sean. Bloody good. And it's great to be on your show, mate. Yeah, talking to all your fans around North America. All over the world.
I mean, I was saying...
G'day, mate. We've heard about your show, Sean. We've heard about it for a long time, and we know it's one of the top shows, if not the top show, in the world. It's great to be here on your show, and here we are. I'm Butch. I'm in Wellington, New Zealand, and I'm talking to you guys today, and we are ready to start the march. Here we come. Yay!
I'm so excited. I mean, I grew up watching you guys, and I mean, you guys were a big part of people's childhood, but you guys have not done regular appearances in what, 20 years together?
20 years, mate. 20 years.
So what motivated you guys to reunite, and what kept you away so far? Was it because one of you were in North America and the other one was in New Zealand?
New Zealand, yes, and that now is the time. We feel it. Right now, Butch was ready. You know, we had a few personal things, we had a few personal problems, and that. But I know it's the wrong year because it's the coronavirus. But we're hoping to start hitting the road in April, May this year, and then going through right through next year, 2022.
I got it,
and we'll be coming in.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There you go.
I myself, Sean, I got just before 9/11, I got septicemia and didn't know it, but I felt myself getting sick. And Luke, so our flights were cancelled, we were due to go on the road. Then I got worse and worse. Luke went on the road. I said, mate, I can't go. He was very worried about me, kept ringing. In the end, he couldn't get me. I was living by myself. He couldn't get me. And he was so worried that he flew, got on a plane and flew back to Tampa, Florida. I'm not too sure where he was. He'll tell you. And luckily, he knocked on the door. No answer. He came crashing through my rat slider. And I was close to death on the bed.
Wow.
With blowing up like a big balloon. Laying there, I could not move. I hadn't moved for days. And he called the ambulance. To cut a long story short, they lost me a couple of times in the ambulance. They brought me back to the hospital, lost me there. So it took me quite a few years to get back to on my feet, many years. And then they took me back into the sharing shed, give me some new joints, gave me some new bits and pieces, gave me a lube, gave me an oil change, clean me up a little bit. And then they opened the doors and they said, go get them. So I walked out those bloody share and share doors, Sean. Arms are swinging, legs are moving, doing a whoa and a yay. And I knew I was ready to carry on doing some serious whacking. And that's what's happening. We are about to get whacking, whether it's sheep herder style, bushwhacker style, bush herder style, sheep whacker style. It doesn't matter. We are ready.
So what motivated the walk? I mean, I think a lot of people don't know where it came from. They know what it is. They grew up with it. Where did it come from?
I've always had a different type of walk. Cut a long story short, I was born with a bit screwed up feet. If I had been a horse, they would have shot me. But luckily, I wasn't a horse. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm okay. I can do it. So they didn't shoot me. So over the years, I developed different ways to get around. The arms used to go a bit and everything. If you watch some of the old sheep herder days, I used to fight that with the arms swinging. Well, when we went to do the bushwhacker thing, and Vince says, we want to turn you into baby faces. And I said, wow. I hopped up on the bench, put my face about 6 inches from Vince's face. And I said, Vince, if you can make baby faces out of these faces and these heads, you go right ahead. We're ready. And Cousin Luke will tell you the rest.
And Vince turned around and he said, look at the mugs on my favorite, on my top baby faces. Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He says, they haven't got the prettiest mugs. And that's what he said. And well, Butch says, go for it. And of course, I had the old train of thought, bring us in, because I'd been in the business and doing behind the scenes, booking and that. And of course, straight away, I said, bring us in as heels and turn us baby faces. And then I learned straight away then, you don't tell Caesar what to do. If he says you're coming in and I'm going to make your baby faces, that's what he does. So he brought us in for the next 8 months. Every week he brought us in for a day, and we cut small vignettes, you know, 2-minute movies, 3-minute movies. We cut so many each time we came in, and he ran those on all his television. Those days, it was before the scandal and tour in 1992, this was 88, so it was before the scandal. So he had about 190 stations like NBC, ABC, CBS,
yeah,
and all that all around the country. Plus he had USA Network and that. So he ran these vignettes. There was no Monday Night Raw then. It was another show on Monday night. He ran these vignettes on all the shows and that. And a lot of people said to us afterwards, they didn't know that it was us. And then the people that did the rest of it said, how can you go from the brutalest, bloodiest tag team in North America to being two clowns in the ring? And all we had to say was money.
How did you guys feel when that was brought up to you? Because, I mean, you all did work a very violent style before you became the Bushwhackers.
Mate, we were businessmen. We were businessmen. We knew, you know, this was our second. This was a new break for us. Tell them, boys.
And Sean, we don't forget, we were both in our 40s then. And, you know, I said to Luke, we went out to the ring one time. Vince never told us what he wanted, but he said, I want something different. And we started going out to the ring and started swinging the arms. Even more than I normally do. And when I saw that the crowd was reacting to it huge big time, I said to Luke, we've got to swing your arms. He said, mate, I can't. My shoulders are too sore. And I said, listen here, you bloody Kiwi bastard. I said, swing your arms. You want to make money? Swing them, brother. And so what did Luke do? He started swinging those arms and getting with the rhythm, and we were marching out. Well, the people got behind us, something so big that Vince absolutely loved it, Sean. And he used to say, "You guys are the great." He said, "I don't need to have the tag team belts on you guys. I don't need, the people love you guys." And they used to even put us on the last match of the show, no matter even if it's in Madison Square Gardens or wherever, just to keep the people happy and send them home with a happy pattern, with us marching around the ring, going, "Whoa, yay," getting their hands raised, and everybody leaving the arena, laughing and joking and saying, "What a great night that was."
So,
yeah.
Go ahead. Made,
I'm just going to say, Vince did say to us an idea. He says, "I want you to be semi-bushwhackers, semi-sheep herders, semi-moondogs."
Ah.
Now, because moondogs had been there for 5 years, so they were gone, and the sheep herders, we'd been in the sheep herders for 10 years by then, you know, because we were the Kiwis before that, New Zealand Kiwis. And he said, "I want you to be a bit of each." And then Butch said to us, he said, "The moondogs have been on USA Network. The Kiwis have been on Ted Turner's TBS network off and on for 10 years. And let's create something new." And that's how that other thing came out.
I know.
And from day one, Sean, once we got those vignettes all showing after about 8 weeks and we started, it was incredible. We'd get stopped in the concourses of the airport. We'd be rushing from, you know, plane to plane or whatever.
Yeah.
And a guy would stop us. And this is how the conversation would go. You know, you'd think he wanted to take a photo of us with it. There was no cell phones then. They were just normal camera phones. Anyway, he would be, you know, have us all his suits and everything. He'd say, "Guys, I know you're in a hurry. I just want to say from our family, thank you. You entertain us every night you're on. I want to say thank you. Keep doing it. You guys are the greatest." And when you keep hearing that over and over and over again with nothing going on about, "Oh, what about this? What about blood and guts?" Then you realize you're dealing with a whole different kettle of fish, a whole different ball game. And don't forget, we didn't have to take many bumps. There was no blood and guts. There was no fighting our way from the arena to the dressing room. There was no coming out to our car and seeing our car four tires slashed and the windscreen smashed and everything else. There was none of that. It was a blessing to do it.
So I know that pretty consistently for about 8 years, you guys were with Vince and the WWF. And I know that years before that, you had worked with Turner and NWA and all that. After you had went and worked with Vince, did WCW ever try to pull you guys away? Because we saw that a lot. We saw a lot of WCW offers for established WWF talent at that point.
No. We never had that, mate. We were WWF guys. You know, when we were in NWA, which became WCW, and that NWA and that, you were a wrestler. You were known as a wrestler. WWF, you became a celebrity.
There's
another level. There's another level, mate.
Yes. You went from being a professional wrestler to a celebrity. And that's how they treated you, Sean. The difference was just amazing, like night and day. We'd been in the business all those many years, and we had never seen it. It was a whole different thing, you know.
Yes.
And the promotion was run so professionally. They were running three huge towns a night, every night, all over the US, Canada, and in the UK. Every night we were in a different town, different crew. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Everything was like clockwork. The only thing you had to do with Vince, you had to make sure you got to the towns and you had to give him 100% because Vince always gave 100% to the WWE and to his business. And he expected the same out of everyone that worked for him. You gave Vince 100% and he treated you like royalty. And he was very, very good to us. He loved us and we loved him. And we had a very, very good relationship with Vince McMahon right throughout our times with him.
You mentioned...
Sean, going back to that, you know, WCW, you asked us if we ever let... We worked for WCW in the 60s. The guy... No, WCW was formed by a promoter called Jim Barnett. Ever heard of Jim Barnett?
Yeah, of course.
And that he was, he ran coast to coast in the 60s. He ran coast to coast in North America. When you bicycled the tapes, you know, there was no satellite. You bicycled the tapes over. And we worked for Jim Barnett. And he was the one that owned WCW and bought it back for Turner, you know, back to the States.
Yeah. You all mentioned being celebrities, and another big part of my childhood was seeing you guys on Family Matters, the sitcom, where you all wrestled Carl Winslow and Steve Urkel. Please tell me how that came about and maybe anything you remember about filming that.
Oh, yeah. That was right. Vince actually asked Vince if they could have us because they were fans of the Bushwhackers. And the young guy, what was his name?
Jaleel White. Steve Urkel.
Urkel, yeah. He was a huge fan. So was the uncle. So when they heard the opportunity that if they got hold of the WWE and asked for us, and Vince let us go. But the funny part about that was what happens is the filming's a little bit different. In television, you actually work to the cameras. So if you've got a hold on, you turn to the cameras so the camera can see the whole. In filming sitcoms or movies, apparently, the cameras catch you. They put the camera in the position to get you. So you don't do things to the camera. So we, of course, were doing things like we did in the wrestling. So we had to change that smartly, which we did. But we had that in the trials. They had an audience, a small audience, before they did the major taping. And they had this one woman, she was a stunt woman, and she would, as we marched down to the ring, to come into the ring against Steve Urkel and his uncle, she got up and I was to grab her and go, whoa, yay. And of course, I gave her a good licking. Well, the makeup that she had on her face was so heavy that it closed my throat up completely. So I got in the ring and I could hardly even go, I'm gasping for air the whole time. I can hardly make a noise. So we get through that. And afterwards, then they let, the next day, they let the audience in. Well, bugger me, Dave.
For the final shoot. The next day was the final shoot.
The final shoot the next day. Well, I had this girl come up again, pop up. And I was getting carried away. The people were, you know, waving their arms and chanting, and they were going crazy. It felt like the bloody Wembley Stadium again, but a bit smaller. So I was always getting carried away. So I grabbed this woman without thinking, and I gave her another big bloody slopping licking. Well, guess what happened? Silly me, my throat closes up. I get in the ring. I do that whole bloody performance feeling so bad, I'm nearly bending down to spew into a bucket all the time. And after it was all over, I had to go out and spew my bloody guts out. But boy, other than that, God, we had a good time doing that, didn't we, Luke?
Yeah, there were a great cast there. A great cast.
Well,
very good.
WWE just held the Royal Rumble, and Luke, one of your moments in the Royal Rumble is one that people just look at and they love so much, where you walk to the ring, Earthquake tosses you over the top rope, and you just keep walking. Do you remember whose idea that was, and really anything about that?
Oh, that came from Pat Patterson. to go out. But Butch said, pump those arms when you go out.
Elliot, keep marching, I said.
Yeah, keep marching. And of course, that became very notorious. It was only 2 years ago that Vince stopped playing that clip in the pre-Royal Rumble. He played that clip for 18 years. And that kept me in the people's eye that moment. And of course, on top of that, Butch was in there for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, or 24 minutes, and I was in there for 4 seconds. And of course, when 10 days later, when we got the checks, I got the same as Butch.
I've never let him forget it either. Here I was working my bloody ass off for 25 minutes, and you got to keep going all the time because you don't know which camera's on you, so you can't just stand there. I'm working my guts off for 25 minutes or 20 minutes. In comes Luke, takes 3 or 4 steps in the ring, marching, hits the deck. He marches out. I wanted to march out after him, didn't I? I was bugging. I was puffing, and I was grunting. And I knew I had another 5 minutes left. Oh, boy. So when the checks came around, and I knew that he got the same as me, boy, was I mad. But it was the greatest thing going. We laugh about it now. They used to talk about that more. They didn't care who was in the ring for how long. They didn't care who won what battle royal anywhere. All they always said was, which one of you two marched in the ring, marched on through, got thrown over the top and kept marching? And that's all they would ask. They might have forgot which one it was, but once they knew, they never, ever forgot.
So I'm looking at the first Royal Rumble you guys were in, too. Luke only spent 3 minutes in the first one, and Butch had to spend 18 minutes in that one, too.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Hey. I'm the Royal Rumble man.
I think he was payoff man, mate. I think Luke was going into those deep pockets with his short arms, and they're very short when you're in a bar, and the pockets are very deep when you're getting a drink. But when it was to pay off for how long he was in the Royal Rumble, I think he got hold of those dollars real smartly, because he got away with murder on both of them.
Hey, Butch. You know who put the Royal Rumble together?
Yeah, Pat Patterson.
Pat liked me. He didn't like you so much. You were too butch.
I wonder why.
You were too butch.
Oh, my God.
I used to say to Pat, why do you like Luke so much and not me? And he says, Butch, I love you, mate, but you're too butch.
Amazing.
Pat was a lot of fun, mate. I remember the first time, listen to this, Sean, the first time we're there, you know, on the TV days, we're there for in those days, Monday and Tuesday, we did three 1 hour shows.
Yes.
At night, and three at Tuesday, and there's food out there. The first night, Pat says, where the trays of vegetables are, there's a tray of carrots and that, and there's a big scoop in there. He says, drop your teeth in the tray when you're going to get the food. And I dropped my teeth in the tray, and no one went near that food. And that Pat was always playing ribs. He was a good guy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's a good guy. And a bright guy, too. He knew the business inside out.
Yeah.
Great worker.
You always hear about how much he contributed to those Royal Rumble matches. That he would put them together.
Yes. Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens were the greatest tag team.
Yeah.
In the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, they were the early greatest tag team. You know, unfortunately, they didn't have the same TV coverage as what Vince had in the end. But boy, oh boy, they were... When you're in the business as long as we are, the gold shows out, if you know what I mean, and it comes through. You can't hide it. And they were just amazing, both of them. Just superstars in their own right. A little wee bit before the huge big push that TV got.
Satellite TV.
Yeah.
We were around, Sean, we were around Ray Stevens when we first, 1980, when we first went to NWA. Jimmy Snuka and Ray Stevens were the tag team. The North, they were the world tag teams, and we were the North American tag team. And that, at that time, and we traveled with Jimmy Snuka and that, and we were around Ray a lot, and saw how great a worker he was. And this was later. This was later in his life.
I think there's a thing that I've always wanted to ask you guys. I don't even know if you all would remember this, because not a lot of people even know you did it. In 1998, you guys popped up in ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
Please tell me how that came together. That was such a fun thing.
That was the Dudleys from Down Under. The Dudleys, yes. And Paul brought us in because he wanted us to do a run with Sandman. And I mean, he was Sandman and Tommy Dreamer.
Yep.
He brought us into the Dudleys and that to get over and then to work with Sandman. Anyhow, we came in for the first weekend and he says, you know, I'm going to give you a starting date. I'd like you to start for us in a month or 2 months, a month and a half, you know. Because I said to him, we're booked for 2 months, but we can give not the, for the next 3 weeks, we're tied up. Because we don't want to fuck the promoters, because we were relying on these other promoters to help us for the last 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since WWF, and they were good to us. So we gave the other promoters over who were booked us over a month. We gave them notice. Anyhow, we did that three shows for him, and then all of a sudden he rang us the next week. On a Friday night, and he says, I'll send you the plane tickets. I need you tomorrow night. And we were already on the road working for these independent promoters 3 nights. And I had to say, Dave, we don't want to screw. I told him, who was it called us? Maybe it was Tommy Dreamer then too, who was doing his, helping him with the travel arrangements. And I told him, that we're not going to let these guys down. Well, Paul Heyman said then, he says, if you don't come now, I don't need you.
And one thing about us, Sean, if we were booked somewhere, even for the independent promotion, if we were booked somewhere, as long as that plane was going and as long as they were landing, we always made the show. We kept our word. And we were known for that. All through the years that Luke and I were together, We kept our word, and we always, what we said, we did, and we turned up.
So, even if we're injured, back in the NWAs, guys, we never took time off. We just knew we could work. The other guy would be on the apron. Butch had a situation, right, with a double shot, you know, in NWA, and we held the belts at the time with the North America and Mid-Atlantic. And he was on the apron. He couldn't get in the ring, but I'd been in the situation where I couldn't do it, but we always arrived and gave the people a show.
Luke, I saw that you wrestled a couple matches even a couple years ago. Do you see yourself ever doing it again, or are you done?
I wrestled right up to this pandemic, mate.
Oh, really? So were you wrestling like last year too, a little bit?
I think, you know, January or February, I worked in Canada. No, I worked at nice. I worked at trade shows selling television. But on the end of the year, 2019, I worked all last year, 2019.
Sean,
yeah.
He's a machine.
He's
a machine. He's now a marching machine.
I did a tour down New Zealand with Butch 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, last question as we wrap up. I remembered when I was younger, I was like maybe 9 or 10 years old. I noticed you guys went away for about 6 months towards the end of 95. You guys came back in for the 1996 the tag title tournament. Had you guys left the company? Were one of you hurt? What was going on?
No. When we were out there then, mate, Vince had us overseas. He was going to new markets like Taiwan, Sweden. Places he hadn't been before, and we went over there. We were over those other countries doing pre-publicity, even Germany and England, places. We were going to towns that he hadn't run before, and doing the pre-show work. And we still remember Hong Kong. Yeah. We did Hong Kong. We did other places in the Far East.
Yeah, all over UK. And also, too, Sean, we did a lot for the US Armed Forces. And we did shows all over the world for the US Armed Forces. Some in the States, like in Alaska, and all around other bases that they've got, the US have got. But we did them around the world. And entertained the US troops, and that was fun and games, and it was tremendous. And we had the whole troops all marching around. It was just great, and they all loved us because they all grew up watching us. You see, because they were all young army guys. You know, they were probably only 18 or 19 then.
Sure.
Yeah.
We encourage you guys, whenever you get the opportunity to see Luke and Butch, go out of your way to do it. Yeah, I mean, you haven't had the opportunity in almost 20 years, and they have reunited. I'm so excited that I got to speak to you guys today.
Yeah, we appreciate it, mate. And if you want to contact us and that through our email for our brand, it's bushwhackerbrand@pm.me. Bushwhacker. The whacker's got an H in it. At pm.me. That's our email contacting us as we're on the road the end from April this year right through to 2022. And we'd like to hear from you wherever you are. Contact us and find where we're going to be, because we could come to your town.
And there's so many things happening, Sean. We've even got the book coming out, Bushwhacker's Book of Blood, Sweat, and Cheers. That's coming out this year. And boy, there's some telltale stuff in that one. So when they come to see us, we'll be either the bushwhackers, we'll be the sheep herders, we'll be the bush herders, or we will be the sheep whackers.
Sean, we could even be the weed whackers.
As you guys see, these guys have plenty of stories. Make sure you check out the book. Make sure you go see them whenever you get the opportunity. Luke and Butch, I want to thank you so much. This is something I never thought I'd get the chance to do. So thank you all so much.
And we appreciate being on your show.
Good talking to you, mate. Great to be on your show. Wow.
Yeah, we appreciate you very much, Sean. And if I was there, I'd grab you in a big bear hug and damn the coronavirus, I'd give you a bloody good head licking.
Oh, no.
I'm going to give you one now.
Oh, hey. No.
Oh, there he goes.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Wow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.